Okay, at the sound of the Palmer whistle, which happens roughly 8 a.m., we're able to welcome our guest this morning, probably best described as the person responsible for the Palmer Garden Project.
The Grow Palmer Project.
There you go. See, you've got that down pretty well. Jan Newman in here, and we've watched that and talked about it from its beginning, when this whole thing started out. Tell us what prompted this kind of change in an area that is an agricultural center.
Right.
But up until this point, we've had some nice flower displays here and there. But anyone wandering through Palmer, downtown Palmer, this summer noticed quite a few gardens. How did you get the idea, or where did that come from?
Well, the gardens that we planted this year are actually not new gardens, but have been planted by the city with beautiful flowers for years and years.
Okay.
But the goal of the Grow Palmer Project was really a means of increasing the health and vibrancy of our community. And we do that through food because it spans age, religion, culture, gender. We all eat. And so food is something that's accessible to all of us. And the idea is to build community. It's completely, the project is completely volunteer and community driven. So, by all of us coming together, planting public food for everyone to share, we enrich our community.
Okay. Well, Lee had a question.
Where did the idea come from?
It's actually not a new idea. It's something that I had read about throughout the winter, and it seemed to be just a perfect fit for Palmer, not only because, you know, many of us are talking about and thinking about local food and food scarcity and food security as much as, you know, healthy lifestyles and all of that. So it seemed like a nice match for Palmer. It is a project that originated about 8 or 9 years ago in a relatively small city in England. Two or three women kind of sitting around the table talking about how they could increase the health and vibrancy of their community. And so they started planting, just sort of empty corner bus stops and vacant areas around their city, and it just quickly grew. It grew across England, across the UK, all across Europe, eventually across the US. It's happening in small towns and cities in Africa. So it's not a new idea. It's just new to Alaska.
Okay.
Is this the first one in Alaska?
As far as I know, it is. There's a lot of community gardens, as you know.
Right.
But as far as planting public spaces free for everyone to share, I believe this is the first one in the state.
And what I noticed was that although you spoke about areas that had been previously planted with flowers, I noticed there were additional small gardens that popped up.
Yes. What we did as a means of really rallying the community, we spoke with we spoke amongst ourselves, our friends, our neighbors, and then we went to many of the merchants along the sort of Target core area downtown and asked that those merchants or shop owners who have typically a window box or a planter of some sort that's out on the street, if they would incorporate something edible into that planting, then they would be included in what we called the Edible Harvest Map. And we created a map which depicted all of the areas that had been planted that were part of the Grow Palmer Project that were free for anybody to share. And in so doing, we handed out, I think, close to 400 of these maps from these various establishments as well as through the visitor center. And people could walk a circuit, basically, through our retail district and shop and savor as they go.
Oh, very good. Well, I was impressed with the quality of what was growing there. I mean, we have a garden.
Great.
And but this was impressive, both in visually and what appeared to be from a harvest standpoint.
Well, fantastic. We learned a tremendous amount this year. We have discovered certain things that certain groups of plants that don't do well together, so that we can switch that up next year. We've also discovered which things look better throughout the season and continue to produce so that people can harvest repeatedly as the summer goes on. So we've learned a lot of things about what we need to do differently. But we did our best to try to keep all of the gardens looking good throughout the season. Actually, this year, our biggest hurdle was keeping everything watered because it was the hottest summer ever, as we all know.
Right.
And the Department of Public Works from the city graciously and diligently watered for us all summer long with fertilizer-free water. So they fertilize the flowers each week. We asked that they not use fertilizer on ours simply because we knew people would be picking them and sampling, and we didn't want people to be fearful of having to, you know, run home and rinse off whatever it was that they wanted to sample.
Oh, that's nice to know. I actually didn't sample anything because I was wondering about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit more about the sampling and picking, because it seemed to me that the gardens remained through this season, and yet I also observed people picking. It seemed to work.
Right. Well, that's another thing we learned is somehow we need to incorporate successive planting because things do get harvested, and
right.
then you just have, you know, sort of a vacant spot in your garden. And we did the best we could with that. I think this first year, one hurdle was really getting people to go ahead and harvest. You know, gardens tend to be sort of proprietary, and we've mm-hmm. all learned that you don't pick things publicly. So there was a tremendous amount of signage about what crops were growing in each garden, what part of the plant we eat, and how to tell when it's ready to be picked. But even with that, people were sort of reluctant, and so at one point I put out big signs in the major gardens that just said, "Please harvest me." And I remember it was funny. I erected one sign and then went to another garden. And on my way back, there were a handful. It was a Friday, and there were a lot of people from Friday Fling wandering around. There was maybe six or seven people standing in front of that garden. And I heard one woman say to her friend, "It says that we could harvest that, but do you think they really mean it?" And I said, "Yes, they really mean it. What looks good to you?"
So as you're talking, I'm thinking about a sweet spot between not over-harvesting and under, you know, just finding
yeah.
that place where people will understand that you can't take everything away, but you...
Right. The idea is hopefully that people will recognize that this is for everyone to share and won't come in and harvest, you know, six broccoli plants or whatnot. But I also did overhear a couple of people harvesting saying... wow, that looks like it could be harvested, but it really needs another week. And then the other person said, "Yeah, but a week from now, somebody else will have harvested."
Ah, yes.
So I ultimately would love to see enough of the downtown area planted in public food that no longer becomes an issue.
Right. Yeah, and I admit, part of the reason I did not harvest was I figured I have a garden at home.
Right.
I should let...
Right.
People who don't have gardens harvest.
And likewise, many of us have gardens, myself included. And so my role really, once we got it all in the ground, I would just wander around. I would deadhead flowers or spend 5 minutes weeding. You know, it's great to be able to provide access to healthy food to those who don't have an opportunity mm-hmm. to grow their own.
Great. How many people were working on this with you?
I don't know the exact numbers of people, but we had over 750 hours of volunteer time. We had generated over $8,000 through some small grants, the Matsu Health Foundation, the Museum of History and Art, the City of Palmer, of course, and numerous other local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we had really a lot of input. We also had over $2,600 worth of labor and materials donated to us. So that mm-hmm. included plants mm-hmm. As well as soil and compost and heavy equipment to move it.
Mm-hmm.
We had an incredible amount of in-kind donations.
Great.
So that leads to the question about next year? You had a lot of learnings. What
are
you going to do?
Yeah, we are so hoping that more people will get involved. We have been approached by several other shop owners and merchants downtown who, you know, kind of recognized somewhere along the way that this was happening and want to be involved next year. So we are looking for input from everybody and anybody. If you plant your own garden and start seeds at home and you have six extra, you know, broccoli plants that you have no room for in the spring, we would gladly take them. If you want to just volunteer to help with sending out emails, we would love your input. We are interested in really rallying the entire community. So, and we can be reached at growpalmer@gmail.com and also on Facebook, just facebook.com/growpalmer.
Grow Palmer. Mm-hmm. Grow Palmer is the magic phrase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how much food do you think you harvested, or how much did you harvest at the end?
You know, I have no sense because so many things, I wouldn't begin to.
Right.
I couldn't weigh things. I don't know what size the cabbages were when they were taken or how many broccoli plants were even produced because I would see them one day and they'd be gone the next.
Uh-huh.
But I do know that what we had intended to do initially and did do just a couple of weeks ago is at the end of the season, the plan was to harvest whatever was remaining and have a public picnic. Mm-hmm. And then any food that was left over would be donated. And we did donate to the Food for Kids program at the Boys and Girls Club in Wasilla at the very end when we harvested the last of the produce.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a suggestion and or a question. Did you take any pictures of your gardens?
Numerous photos along the way, from the very inception and prepping the gardens to getting them planted and watching the things grow to children harvesting. We also hosted two free cooking demonstrations just along the street side with the in conjunction with the Cooperative Extension Service. The nutrition educator from there, Winona Benson, did a wonderful job.
Uh-huh.
And we also hosted a children's event at the Midsummer Garden and Art Fair.
I remember that, mm-hmm. with the art, making little...
Yes, vegetable sculptures.
Yes.
So when you talk about kids and all the rest, it brings to mind the school district. Have you had any formal connection with the school district or individual schools?
No formal connection. We've been talking. We have sort of a team of people that are looking at how to improve and expand the project next year. We have some ideas on how to approach the elementary schools. We have discussed with the future farmers of FFA over at the high school. We have discussed some sort of joint venture. I'm not sure exactly what direction we'll take that. And we've also talked with the 4-H groups about 4-H mm-hmm. children getting involved.
Fun.
So one of the highlights of the Alaska State Fair, of course, are the many gardens. Most people not aware that there are about 13 different gardens mm-hmm. scattered through there. But I'm trying to think. I don't know of an example of a garden with produce there at the fair. Are you aware of one?
They do. It's kind of, they have a garden with edibles and a large medicinal area. It's kind of between, it's kind of tucked away in the back, kind of between the lumberjack show.
Oh, that's right.
And
right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I forget the name of that garden, but it is kind of tucked away. It's not on the major trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And,
so how many years have you been gardening?
Personally, I have been gardening about 36 years.
Okay.
Yeah, since I was a teenager, really.
Uh-huh. Cool.
So winter's coming, mm-hmm. and you mentioned that last year you sat around thinking about this, talking about it, and putting it together. Very often when I think about prepping for gardens, a lot of it is the classic looking at seed catalogs, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we're, and you've mentioned that there are a variety of sources scattered throughout the community where mm-hmm. starts can be obtained, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Do you have any ideas around seeds, et cetera, the places, locations? How do you get all that you are going to plant?
Well, this year we started kind of late because we didn't know really if this project was going to develop any momentum and get off the ground. But as we had said earlier, there are a lot of home growers who mm-hmm. have gardens of their own. And if I think many of them, like myself, you know, by springtime are thinking, oh, I just want to plant as much as possible.
Sure.
So I will often plant more of a seed packet than I really have room for in my garden. So again, most of the starts have been donated as extras.
Okay.
Many of them actually were recovered from or on their way to people's compost piles because they had,
too many.
Yes.
Right.
So we will start collecting starts as soon as people have, you know, extras to donate. As far as seeds themselves, by the time we've collected all of the starts that are donated, we'll review what kinds of plants and things mm-hmm. that we have, and we'll figure out what additional plants need to be incorporated, and those can be purchased at local greenhouses.
Sure. Well, there's a nice feel to that. If this being a community garden, that the starts are coming from the community in a whole
yes.
wide range of ways.
Yeah. And there is one other facet to the project I'd just like to mention, and that is what we call the market board, which is a notice board that's been erected in the parking lot across from the visitor center. And we have been posting every week updates on local food products that are available in the valley. So that includes not only crops at many of the farms and CSAs in the area, but also local meat products, fresh eggs, local honey, jams and jellies, you name it. If you have a local food product that's for sale, let us know, and each week we'll post your updates.
Do you also post that on your Facebook page?
It was posted on the Facebook page at one time, and that's a really good idea. It's been suggested as well. We haven't done that this year. I think we'll do that next year.
Okay.
But I do know that a great many people, including a lot of tourists who have been through town, have have contacted us through the Facebook page or have noticed or have been informed of the notice board through the visitor center and have actually made contact with some of those farms for local products.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Good.
So once again, the contact information?
GrowPalmer@gmail.com
and
or facebook.com/GrowPalmer.
GrowPalmer.
Well, thanks, Jan.
Thanks for coming in here today. And any last comment before you go?
Anybody and everybody that's interested in growing our community, please get in touch.
Great.
Okay.
Jan Newman from Grow Palmer.